يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون.
For me, Ramadan is, you know, it's the best time of the year.
Ramadan, for me, this is really my first full proper year.
It's always been about giving us right from scratch.
To me, it would probably be difficult to fast and
In middle of June and July, we have 24-hour sunshine.
Ramadan at opposite ends of the earth. It's the same, a month of reflection, prayer, sharing and giving. But it's also different. Different daylight hours, landscape, peoples and cultures. Hastings, a city at the heart of the Hawke's Bay wine region, the oldest in New Zealand, on the east coast of the North Island. It's classic Kiwi countryside, an urban landscape. But in the suburbs, there are small communities that don't quite fit the stereotype of mainstream, rugby-loving, beer and wine-drinking culture.
Allah, assalamu alaykum.
How are you, brother? Alhamdulillah.
What are we up to today, brother?
We just got to go downtown the sheikh's house, pick up the rest of the wood, and we'll bring it back, chop it off, and then we'll chop up the rest of the wood.
Me, brother.
After that, we'll go down to the stockyards and see if we can get a sheep for the hangi.
Stockyards? Oh, yeah, brother, yeah.
Down the Stockyard Lodge. And then I need to get to my sister's and pick up some pallet. Yeah. All
right. Abdulaziz and his friend are Māori, descendants of the indigenous people of New Zealand. They're also converts to Islam, which in itself is quite unusual. Abdulaziz changed his name from Carlos Broquin. They're required to fast during daylight hours in Ramadan. When the holy month falls in June and July, the New Zealand winter, daylight only lasts for 8 or 9 hours. So fasting is short, but so is the time for organising the meal, which breaks the fast, iftar.
$40 bidding, out they go, $40. $40, out they go.
Looks like lamb is on the menu tonight. Tonight, iftar will be hangi, a traditional Māori way of cooking which needs plenty of wood for the fire.
Whoa, I'm trying to grind it right down to let you.
But more of that later. On the other side of the globe, Iceland, the most sparsely populated country in Europe, and reputedly first settled by a Norwegian chieftain in the 9th century. Like parts of New Zealand, its landscape is peppered with hot springs and geysers. But it's so far north that the capital, Reykjavik, can have some of the longest daylight hours on Earth in the summer months. So whereas in New Zealand the Ramadan fasting day can be relatively short in winter, here it can last for over 20 hours, sometimes the sun literally never sets. That poses challenges for Icelandic Muslim converts like Muhammad Ali and Noor. Muhammad's changed his name from Oliver Haldason and Noor from Egil Bronner. Fishing is a passion for Muhammad and can be a helpful distraction for him and his family from the pressures of a long Ramadan fasting day.
I thought fasting would be much easier than it was. It was actually quite difficult for me, and I did cheat by drinking some water on some days, and I will have to add those days to my fast after Ramadan.
I'm from north of Iceland, and when I was there in 74, if I would follow the timetables of the Quran strictly, I would pray Isha in like 5th of December, and then Fajr the day after, because you have the light, but no sunrise, so before sunrise you pay a fajr, like 6th of September, but then there is no duhur until like 20th of January. So obviously you have to do some changes about it.
Although the winter days can be relatively short in New Zealand, newly converted Muslims can still find it difficult to fast. But it's part of the discipline.
Ramadan for me has been one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, actually. I just don't think my body was adapted for it. This is my first Ramadan, and it's just been one of the most amazing experiences of my life.
He said, and he just said to me, "Brother, you can do it. I know you can." Really, I seen heaps of people. I even see 5-year-old little girls do it. And I said, "Oh yeah, I'll give it a go." Did I have a go? And then, yeah.
You know, I became Muslim a couple of weeks after. We went to Auckland to the masjid. Went to Wellington. Learned some surahs and stuff down there. Learned how to pray wudu. And it's pretty hard getting up in the morning for Fajr. Can't handle a lot of us get hungry.
The movement and rotation of the earth determine daylight hours in different parts of the world. Reykjavik is 64 degrees, 10 minutes north of the equator. The Ramadan fasting day can be as long as 21 hours in June and July, which makes it tough to observe. Hastings in New Zealand is 39 degrees, 38 minutes south, so you only have to fast for around 9 hours in June and July. But this can cause confusion and uncertainty over prayer times and fasting hours.
Well, I noticed this problem a long time ago when I came here, like 73, and then I think Ramadan was in June, and it was even more difficult then. In middle of June and July, we have 24-hour sunshine. It's the sun, in Reykjavik, the sun goes down, but it never gets dark.
The Islamic Fiqh Council in Mecca issued a fatwa, a religious decree or opinion about fasting hours. But this still didn't completely resolve issues of fasting in places like Reykjavik.
As regards times fasting during the month of Ramadan, it is obligatory for Muslims to observe their fasting from dawn to sunset every day, as long as the day is distinguished in their country from the night, and total hours of night and day are 24 hours. Islamic Fiqh Council, Muslim World League, 4th February
1982. طب احنا عندنا 23 ساعة تقريبا غروب بين بين الشروق او الفجر لحتى المغرب اذا كان في فجر المغرب وفي الشتاء عندنا صيام ساعتين فهذا لا يعقل يعني
I remember when I was at first, it was no Muslims in the country. It was few Arabs, but I didn't know them, and there was no mosque, no place to pray. So I started to think about it, and I remember writing a letter to El Azhar in Cairo, where I asked for some guidance on these matters, but I never received an answer.
In 1983, most of El Azhar scholars in Egypt agreed on a fatwa, a decree for people living in places where days are very long, to fast based on Mecca fasting hours. Other scholars advise people to base their fast on the closest country with a moderate day and night cycle.
فعسى إنه ونتمنى إنه التشريع والإفتاء يكون يساعدنا في هذا لأنه في الحقيقة هو يغلبنا في كثير من النواحي.
هناك أحد الشباب الذين أخصهم بالذكر في حديثي عن الإسلام في نيوزيلند وبخاصة في مدينة هيستينغز وهو الشاب الطموح عبد العزيز وكذلك أسرته. هذا الشاب قدم إلى المسجد وقال أنه interested يعني أنه مهتم بالإسلام وعنده رغبة ليتعرف أكثر على الإسلام ونطق بالشهادتين ثم ذهب بعد ذلك لمدة عام واختفى ولم نره بعد ذلك في المسجد.
A few years ago, Abdulaziz, then still called Carlos and living a pretty rough life, suffered a personal crisis. But it eventually led him to the mosque to attend Juma, Friday prayers.
By 2006, our gang was very, very well known around Hastings. And I made a lot of music. I was doing rapping. And I was very well known. And in 2006, some stuff happened. One of the people that was in the gang with me stabbed me over some stuff that happened. And I almost died. And I guess you could say that was a turning point for me.
وبعد أن غاب سنة كاملة عن المسجد عاد مرة أخرى بقوة وبنشاط غير مسبوق وغير متوقع.
And then once I learned a little bit, you know, I went to Jumu'ah one day and I was listening to the imam and it really hit my heart.
I seek his guidance and assistance. Truly whomsoever Allah guides, no one can lead him astray, and whomsoever Allah misleads, no one can guide him aright.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
الأخ محمد علي هو من مواليد أيسلند. رجل أيسلندي بالكامل وربنا هداه إلى الإسلام قبل حوالي 20 عام ولكن كان خارج أيسلند فوقت ما أجا اشتغلنا عليه وبدأنا ندربه حتى يقدر يقيم فينا الخطبة والإمامة ومن كل الأنواع هذه اللي بيحتاجها المسلمين والحمد لله من علم عربي كان في عندي دورة تعليم لغة عربية ودورة تعليم قراءة القرآن بيقرأ هالآية القرآن مع أنه ما بيفهم كل الموجود لازم نشرح له إياها بالأيسلندي فنتبادل ونحاول نجيب كل الأيسلنديين اللي عنا اللي هم نأهلهم حتى يكونوا يستلموا هذه الراية بإذن الله رب العالمين في المستقبل.
I follow I was saving my life to help. I didn't understand it until after I became a Muslim. I was my life was miserable. I was totally unaware of what I was doing. As an Icelandic seaman, I had a terrible language. I had no respect for women, for anybody's on that ship that I was, for example, and when somebody gave me something to drink, I drank it without asking what was in it. When somebody gave me something to eat, I ate it. So I was living my life totally without thinking. My image of a Muslim was a dirty bearded man in a kaftan with a dagger, and he was probably both cruel and honest and very different, almost not human. There is much more understanding of Islam now, even after what is it called, 9/11. Even after 9/11, than it was 40 years ago.
تقريبا في عنا 200 ايسلندي من بين نساء ورجال اللي هم من اهل البلد اللي اعتنقوا الدين الاسلامي. في ناس ربنا يهديهم بدون اي اتصال في اي مسلم او اي معرفه لاي مسلم. والمثال الاكبر عنا انه في امراه هي في الحقيقه امه لمحمد علي. امراه عمرها 70 عام. وربنا سبحانه وتعالى هداها بدون معرفة ما كنا نعرف عنها بتاتا ولا هي تعرف عنها. سنة 1982 اعتنقت الإسلام بالقراءة فقط، بالقراءة عن الإسلام، ولم تكن تعلم أنه يوجد مسلمون هنا في هذا البلد.
Back in Hastings, Abdulaziz and his family and friends are progressing with the iftar hangi. They'll dig a hole and use it to heat hot coals, which will eventually cook the food underground. It's the traditional Māori way.
Didn't really have pots or anything back in the old days, so putting a hangi was the way that we used to cook our food and stuff. And yeah, all it is just in-ground steaming food. Something we Māoris have done for as long as we've been here, been around. And yeah, it's a pretty easy, simple thing to do once you've got the basics locked down. All it is really just heating up rocks or bits of iron, and putting it in a hole just like you would an oven. Put the food into an oven, shut the door, but shutting our door is covering all the food up with dirt, just so it's all closed off and steaming away in the ground.
This isn't the kind of thing the guys would do every day, but it's perfect for a big family iftar. 4 hours of real slow cooking and the hangi is ready.
Oh, Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
With guidance from the different authorities, people like Muhammad Ali and his family now feel comfortable breaking their fast in the early Icelandic evening, 3 hours before sunset.
Four people have been doing a lot of things. The Moroccans were fasting according to Morocco, the Turkish were fasting according to Istanbul. Some people were fasting according to Mecca. But there were issued something like 3 different fatwas, and we chose to follow the one from the authorities in Mecca, which they advise us just to follow the 45 longitude, the latitude.
في رمضان عنا عدة نشاطات الحمد لله، منها من أحد النشاطات هذه هي الإفطار الجماعي اللي منشدد عليه في الحقيقة، بحيث إنه كل عائلة اللي بتأتي من أي دولة كانت، في عنا من الباكستان ومن فلسطين ومن الأردن ومن أيسلند والأيسلنديين، فكل عائلة بتجيب شوية من أكلها ومنشترك في الإفطار الجماعي يوم السبت. هذه أربع أسابيع بإذن الله، والهدف من وراها شيء طبيعي انه نعرف المسلمين، لانه عندنا نفس المشاكل في المدارس وفي العمل وفي كل هذه الاشياء. فوقت ما نتعرف على بعض وتزداد اواصر الاخوه والصداقه ففي الحقيقه بنقوى.
Ramadan has been a tremendous experience for me, going and taking part in that long prayer in the mosque each evening and then breaking the fast on Saturdays in the company of my friends which are Muslims, so it's been a tremendously good experience.
كمان في إخوان بيجيبوا إفطار للعزابيين اللي هم مش متزوجين وما عندهمش عائلات في أيام الأسبوع. ففي عنا دائما في الحقيقة أيام رمضان هي جميلة بالنسبة لنا هنا في المسجد، نقيم صلوات التراويح والحمد لله، ونتعاون على قراءة القرآن ونحاول نكمل قراءته في هذا الشهر الكريم.
الله أكبر.
في رمضان تزداد الأنشطة وتشمل الصغار والكبار والنساء والرجال، وأخص بالذكر هذا النشاط الطيب وهو الإفطار الجماعي. فيقوم المسجد بتنظيم الإفطار يوميا لكل أفراد الجالية الإسلامية الموجودة في هذه المدينة، رجالا ونساء وأطفالا، ويتكفل أحد أفراد الجالية بإعداد هذا الإفطار، طبخه والإنفاق عليه وتقديمه.
For me, Ramadan is, you know, it's the best time of the year. It's when we can, it's when the community gets together. We see a lot of brothers and sisters that we didn't see during the year. And plus, for me personally, it's training. It's a training regime. We can push ourselves to do good deeds, more practice, you know, all the things that is hard for us during the year. Pray more at night. We don't eat during the day, and we don't have to think about it, so we've got time to do other things.
Like we wouldn't really pull together for things like this unless it was for a funeral or something like that. But yeah, I've seen good changes out of my family through Islam.
أنا وصلت أيسلند سنة 1971. جئت مهاجر من فلسطين من القدس الشريف، ولم يكن هنا في أيسلند إلا حوالي 7 مسلمين من جميع أنحاء العالم، وكنا متفرقين في كل أنحاء البلد هذه الشاسعة. وكما كان يجمعنا في الحقيقة مكان أو صلاة جماعة وكانت في الحقيقة صعبة جدا، ولكن عندما زاد عدد المهاجرين المسلمين وبدأ يزداد، فقررنا سنة 1997 تأسيس جمعية إسلامية، وكنا المؤسسين 5 أشخاص. وزاد عدد الأعضاء، في الوقت الحاضر في عندنا حوالي 1000 مسلم في البلد هنا.
It has been a big change. When I came to Iceland as a Muslim first, like 1973, people were not very interested. They didn't know anything about Islam and they were not very interested. Some ladies married to some Muslims, that was the norm, but they were not very active in the mosque. Then Ali became Muslim for many years ago, but then I think it was 20 years without any, I didn't hear about anybody. But now I know at least like 6 or 7 people, and I hear from every day when somebody wants to become Muslim.
And I always wanted to practice my religion seriously. And when I saw how devoted the Muslims were with their faith and everything that they were doing, then I found it to be desirable to be just like them. And I think that was what triggered my decision in becoming a Muslim.
I met a young boy from the countryside in the capital of Morocco. And one day, he was a student in the university. And one day he took me to the mosque, to the Grand Mosque in Rabat, the biggest mosque. The mosque was empty, except for one old man sitting in the center of the mosque. And he was reciting the Quran. And there something definitely happened with me. I can see it. When I look at it now, that it was like my heart was opened with that.
هذه البلاد نيوزيلند بلاد وليدة وحديثة العهد بالمدنية، ولكن الله سبحانه وتعالى قدر أن يصل إليها الإسلام وينتشر فيها أيضا سريعا. أول إحصائية رسمية لعدد السكان في عام 1874 بيّنت أن عدد المسلمين في هذه البلاد 15 مسلماً استقدموا من الصين ليعملوا في مناجم الذهب. في السبعينات من القرن العشرين بدأ تدفق عدد كبير من الهنود، وخاصة من دولة فيجي القريبة جداً من نيوزيلند، بدأوا يتدفقون إلى هذه البلاد ويستقدمون عائلتهم. ولا يشك أحد الخبراء أن عدد المسلمين يتفوق على 50,000 نسمة، وهذا المعدل أو هذا العدد يساوي تقريبا 1% من السكان. وزيادة عدد المسلمين في هذه البلاد له شكلان. الشكل الأول الزيادة الطبيعية عن طريق المواليد، معدل المواليد، الفرق بين معدل المواليد والوفيات. ولكن الشق الآخر من زيادة عدد المسلمين هنا يعود إلى اعتناق عدد كبير من سكان البلاد الأصليين للإسلام، ونقصد بالسكان الأصليين للبلاد موريز، الموريين، ما يطلق عليهم الموريين.
Maori once worshipped a wide range of gods until the early 19th century, when the majority became Christian. It wasn't until the 1970s that some were introduced to Islam, mainly through immigrants to New Zealand from Asia. Government figures show there were 1,116 Maori Muslims in 2018. In Hawke's Bay, and especially Hastings, the number of Maori converting to Islam is increasing.
people might look at me like I'm not a Māori, you know, because of my clothing. But then you got they got to turn around and look at what they're wearing. And ancestors didn't walk around with, you know, bandanas on their faces or whatever, hoodies on. This is European clothing. This wasn't from this country. So I feel like before I became a Muslim, I didn't know much about Māoridom except what I learned at school. And that's not what our ancestors done. Going around drinking, and there was no alcohol in this country before the Europeans came and stuff like that. And then, you know, once I became a Muslim, then it became obligatory upon me to seek knowledge. And so now I know more about my history than I did before I was a Muslim. And I feel stronger and more, intact with my Māoridom. Yeah.
Abdulaziz has clearly been on a personal, spiritual journey, but a big part of that has been bringing his family and friends with him. There's a sense of redemption for some of them, as their old life was on the edge, some of it on the wrong side of the law.
I was going to the mosque before I got converted. I had been going to the mosque for a pretty long time, and then one day Aziz asked me, and I was like, I'm not sure, and he just kept on asking me, and then I just said yes, and then I got converted.
I wasn't born Muslim. I'm converted. I've got my family here. I've got my family here. You know, they look out for me. I look out for them. You know, I just keep it, you know, and all that. But yeah, pretty much.
It's actually been a real different, like, in my mind. It's like a whole difference in my mind. Like, before I had come to Islam, I used to get up to some out of it stuff. Just do a lot of stuff that was going to lead me in and out of jail for the rest of my life. And ever since meeting Islam and knowing the Sunnah, the way Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, used to act, his mannerism, it's helped. It's been a challenge, but it's also helped my everyday, my characteristics, me, myself.
Abdulaziz's journey began when a Māori Muslim talked to him about his faith and gave him a da'awah, an invitation to Islam.
In 2007, I met, my sister was staying with a Muslim family, a Māoris, and the brother that was staying with her, sometimes he used to talk to me about religion, he used to give me da'awah.
I entered this bookstore, and I asked the shopkeeper if he had some cassettes of the Quran. And he asked me if I was a Muslim. And I had to tell him that no, I was not a Muslim, but my mother is a Muslim.
He asked me, he goes, what do you know about, or he goes, do you believe in God? And I said, yes.
And then he asked me, do you believe in angels? And then I said, yes, I believe in angels. And then he asked me if I believed in prophets. Yes, I believe in prophets. Of course I believe in prophets.
And then, I said to him, you tell me about God then. And he told me, he gave me a bit of da'wah, he told me about Allah.
And then he said to me, and do you believe in holy books? Yes, I believe in holy books. But then you are a Muslim, he told me. You just don't know.
And when he was telling me all the stuff, I already believed it. Because it's what I was thinking about anyway, my own, what I thought was my own idea. I didn't know that the Muslims actually believed in that. So when he told me, then straight away I told him, I already believed that. You know, I believe everything you said.
And then he asked me, and when are you going to admit it? When are you going to do shahada? And I said, I don't know. Maybe later, inshallah. And then he said, why not now?
And then I asked him, can I be a Muslim? And he said, yeah, you can be a Muslim.
And then I'm sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he closed my brain and he opened my heart totally.
So I took shahada there.
And my brother, he sometimes makes a joke of it. He says, oh, my brother, he's a very strange guy. He went into a bookstore to buy a pen, a ball pen, and he came out a Muslim.
It is hard being a mother and fasting. Me and my husband wake up, prepare breakfast for me and Aziz, and then we'll eat together, and then we'll shower, and then he'll go to the masjid, and then around that time, baby Ali will wake up, and then I'll feed him, and while he's eating, I'll read Quran until prayer, and then I'll pray, and then I'll read Quran usually till Aziz comes home. And then, yeah, we just start our day from there pretty much.
Muhammad Ali was born in Iceland, but his wife, Lubna, originally comes from Pakistan, and they have a young son, Faisal.
Faisal, it's difficult to fast so long time?
No, it's not difficult.
Huh? Okay.
Now you're getting used to, because the first fast may be difficult, and now you're getting used to, now at 11 o'clock fast.
SubhanAllah. Mm.
So he's slow by slow, used to.
Yes, but it is very good that it is not longer, huh? That's good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What about you, Lubna? You find it very long fast?
Yes, quite long fast, but not so difficult like Pakistan. Pakistan so much have heat. Mm. Here not so much, but quite long.
Muhammad may have embraced a new faith 20 or more years ago, but Lubna has had to adapt to a completely new life in Iceland.
Before, when I came here, so difficult. First year me for so difficult here, because language and job and this and that. And now, alhamdulillah, everything is smooth, now much better. And also special, I get like a Muslim house. No any changing in house. My mother-in-law is so Muslim and he's Muslim. So in as a home, I not so much feel different. So change.
Abdulaziz's journey and conversion from his former dissolute life have had a marked effect on the whole extended family.
For me, Islam is the highest thing in the world. Like, it's the pinnacle, the top. Some people don't understand, you know. There's a lot of misconceptions about Islam, but when you see the real beauty of it and the truth of it, and then you just want it to be everywhere.
The struggle's just about the same, but with Islam you've got Allah behind you. You got heaven to look at. You got a proper purpose, you know. And you've got a proper guidance in your life. And for me, I know where my kids are going to be, inshallah, which is in Jannah.
I love fasting. I always think about the less fortunate people in the world who they have no choice. It's very humbling, and spiritual wise, it makes me feel as though I'm closer to Allah.
In 2009, I was still living in Oz, and my brother said, one day you're going to be a Muslim. And I replied, nah, never, I'll never be that, blah, blah. When we came back, just seeing how my brother had changed after he was drinking and drinking and everything.
You see a loving family and all of that sort of stuff. It wasn't always like that. But we were quite an angry family. But since the family have sort of gone towards Islam, there's been quite a lot of peace that's come over our family. And it's been a good thing. A lot of change. And just the numbers that are so interested in it, it's quite phenomenal for around here. You know, we're all quite a low in status in society. And the changes I've seen out of my family has been awesome.
I want to be serious with my faith. I want to be serious about the fact that I believe in only one God, and that I pray, and that I can become a better person. I think that's what Islam is about.
After he decided to be a Muslim, then he really started to change his life. The first thing is he didn't want to drink alcohol. I find that very good. In my family, we are not drinking alcohol. We don't like it so much. So I really pleased with this decision he made.
I would say that my life as a Muslim is in all ways blessed.
In my opinion, there is much more space, much more room in Islam than many Muslims want it to be. But it's a very difficult, especially when you're not surrounded by beautiful, good Muslims, and when you're reading, when you're getting your Islam through the Google and the internet. I think it is a very difficult journey. Islam is much, much more. There is room for much, much more. Much more spirituality, much more rahmah, much more beauty than many Muslims wanted to be.
لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك والحمد لله وهو كل شيء قدير. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي والسلام.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.